Thank you for downloading this podcast from policyreview.tv.
Thanks for inviting me to speak today. It's a real pleasure to be here. And just further to the slight discussion earlier about direct entry midwives, I did want Wendy to mention that I was one of the first second cohort of direct entry midwives, as we used to be called then, 92 to 95 in Nottingham. And I've never had a problem looking after higher risk women. You just make sure you seek out those experiences, you seek out additional training, and you say, I am going to get good at this. So don't feel that you're at a disadvantage because you weren't a nurse first. So the reason that I'm here is that 3 years ago I was lucky enough to be offered the opportunity to carry out a full-time three-year PhD sponsored fully by the RCM. And this is a picture of the Gillian Smith, whose brainchild it was. She's head of the RCM in Scotland. So thanks very much, Gillian, for this fantastic opportunity. I've been hosted by the Nursing, Midwifery and Allied Health Professionals Research Unit at the University of Stirling in Scotland, and been really well supervised there by Helen Cheen and Kate Niven. What I've done over the last 3 years is, I'm not going to go into great detail because it's only 10 minutes that I've got, but basically what I've done is I've carried out the largest UK study of intrapartum support ever carried out, and it's the largest observational study of labour care since 1989, Mavis Kirkham's piece of research about information provision in labour, which, by the way, is a fantastic piece of research if you ever want to look that up. So my study is called the SMILEY study. SMILEY stands for the Supportive Midwifery in Labour Instrument, which is a new computer programme that I developed with an IT expert to measure the quantity and quality of midwifery support in labour. What the approach taken is, it's called systematic observation. So you have an observer, who was generally me, but I had three other midwives as well, sitting in the labour room with a wee laptop. We wore theatre blues, so we kind of blended into the background. We didn't have eye contact with anyone. And generally people forgot that we were there, is what they said afterwards. And what we did is we just noted down, it's a snazzy checklist really, the SMILEY programme. You just note down when you see different behaviours carried out by the midwife. It also times when the midwife is in and out of the room, so we could look at the extent to which the midwife is providing continuous care. And it records the specific behaviours of the midwife. So what we were looking at was specifically at support, so that means emotional support, tangible support, advocacy, partner support. But we were also looking at non-support behaviours. So how long were midwives having to spend writing notes, looking at CTGs, those kind of important assessment activities as well. And as has been mentioned this morning, all the study was carried out in Scotland, in four maternity units in Scotland. And as you've heard, we don't have the same issues with midwife shortages there. And all the midwives that I observed were able to provide one-to-one support to women in active labour, which I can hear you're feeling very jealous about if you work in the southeast. We also recorded outcomes, so we did a questionnaire with women after the observation to assess their views about the support that they received, and we looked at other clinical outcomes, so the type of birth, the number of medical interventions, and the type of analgesia used. So the approach that I thought I'd take today was a myth-busting approach. I don't know if you know this programme, but basically what I want you to do, whenever you hear something in the press or you read something, I want you to think, what is the evidence for that? So what we hear a lot about in the press is that women want cesareans. So I'm going to look at some of the evidence around that. Myth two is that cesareans are as safe as normal birth. I'm going to look at some of the evidence there. The next myth is que sera sera. I don't know if you're familiar with the work of Doris Day. That means what will be, will be. So what I found when I was a consultant midwife for normal birth in the Borders, and I found that some midwives seemed to feel that women were either, I remember one midwife coming out of a room and just saying, well, she'll either do it or she won't. I don't need to be in there. And there's sometimes this feeling that really the midwife doesn't have very much effect on the progress of labour and the process. It's just a physiologically set process. So I just want to look at some of that evidence, which my research adds to, I think. And then myth four is that continuous one-to-one midwife support is an expensive luxury. And I think that is a real risk that that's what this government will see. So let's have a look at myth number one, women want cesareans. If you believe what's written in the Telegraph and the Daily Mail, really probably about 70% of women want cesareans, apparently. But if you look at the systematic reviews worldwide, they indicate that only a very small minority of women would prefer a cesarean to a vaginal birth. In the UK, the last large national audit of cesarean section done by the RCOG in 2001 found that only 7% of cesarean sections were primarily for maternal request. So if you think that cesarean section is around 24% of births, that actually only means about 1.8% of births are a cesarean for maternal request. So we need to have that in perspective. Yes, that may be a growing demand, but that is something that we need to keep very clear about. In large representative samples, UK women express a preference for birth with as little medical intervention as necessary. So you can look at Green et al., that was 2,750 women that they looked at, and Garcia was the audit commission. Cesareans are as safe as normal births. Let's have a look at some of that evidence. Elective cesareans have been estimated to have a 2.84 greater risk of maternal death than vaginal birth. That's from the CMAC report. Rates of severe maternal morbidity are really raised. I've just had the 5-minute warning, so I'm just going to skip quite quickly through. Let's just summarise that by saying cesarean delivery, even an elective one, carries a significantly higher risk of life-threatening maternal complications than a vaginal delivery. And that's from a study with 100,000 women in Finland. So let's look at this, the evidence around support in labour. There are 21 randomised controlled trials. You can find these in the Cochrane Library. It's a Hodnett study. And what that found is that continuous support has a massive impact on outcomes. It reduces cesarean sections and it increases normal births. So that's what I decided to look at in my study, the impact of continuous support. And what I found when I looked at these 50 labours, there were 105 hours that I observed, that the more emotional support given by the midwife, the more likely the woman was to have a vaginal birth. Where emotional support was recorded less than the study average, women were twice as likely to have a forceps or a Ventoux delivery. That is really significant. What you do in the room makes a difference. So what you can see here is the big column is normal deliveries, and the women there were receiving emotional support more than 90% of the time from their midwives. The women who ended up with a cesarean, you can see they had just over 10% of the time spent on emotional support. That is a hugely big difference. So giving that emotional support, reassurance, praise, is incredibly important. The other thing that I found that was statistically significant, that the proportion of time that the midwife was out of the room really affects the type of birth. So if the midwife was out of the room more, the woman was more likely to end up with a cesarean. The longer the midwife was out of the room, okay? So if you look at this graph, the small column there is normal deliveries, and you can see that the midwives were out of the room for just about 7% of the time. When the woman ended up with a cesarean section or forceps, the midwives were out of the room for nearly twice as long. The other feeling that I've got from midwives sometimes is that they think that what they do doesn't really affect how women feel, that women really just care if they have a live baby at the end of it and then everything else will be erased from their memory. This isn't true. Women have lifelong memories of their birth experiences. What we do has a huge impact on how they feel about their birth afterwards. And if we're negative or if we're belittling, if we leave them alone to suffer, then they're much more likely to end up with symptoms of post-traumatic stress. And what this shows is that women noticed when midwives weren't giving them as much emotional support and they scored those midwives lower. So what I'm trying to show you by saying it, showing you Wonder Woman, is that what you do does make a difference. You know, use that power for good, not evil. High quality one-to-one support can reduce medical interventions, including cesareans. This study gives us that evidence. It can reduce costs. Cesareans are 3 times as expensive as a vaginal birth. We can reduce complaints and dissatisfaction, and we can reduce post-traumatic stress disorder. This picture is of a midwife sitting in the corner. There's a phrase that Nikki Leap coined, which is the less we do, the more we give. And you can see midwives getting quite misty-eyed about this sometimes, saying, yeah, absolutely, you know, let's just sit in the corner and knit. And I think That is true if you've got someone at home who's very clear about how they want their labour to be. Maybe they've done hypnobirthing. You know, they're very in control. If you've got a sobbing 16-year-old in a hospital, you can't be sitting in the corner knitting. Those girls will feel abandoned. What we need to do is give them support. And I strongly disagree with Michel Audin. I know he's got a very sexy voice, so you want to believe what he says. But I really strongly disagree with him when he says that women don't need support in labour. This study really clearly shows that women do need and want support in labour from their midwives. And I think the more we give, the more we give. So what I'd say to you is you need to stay in the room. What women found really, really important, more than the observers, was the midwife building rapport with them, using a bit of gentle humour, chatting, asking them about them, saying a little bit about themselves. Women found that really important. Give praise, encouragement and reassurance, and really try and involve the partner. So I just want to say a huge thank you for listening to me today, but also to all the women and their partners who led us in to observe. I had 3 volunteer observers, and all the midwives who led us in to observe their care. And I just want to thank my supervisors and the Royal College of Midwives.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from policyreview.tv. For more details, go to www.policyreview.tv. Please note that this audio is subject to copyright and cannot be used by other broadcasters or for commercial gain.